Good morning, everyone. My name is Stuart Mizell, if I haven't met you, and I'm the pastor here. It's great to see all of you here today, both longtime members and first-time guests and folks who have been visiting with us. Thank you for being a part of our worship service today, and thank you to those who are joining us online. We are continuing a series that we began last week on good news of great joy. And we are looking at Luke chapter 2, a fairly familiar passage to those who have been churched for any period of time. So I invite you to look at your own Bible, or if you would like to follow along on the screen, you can find the words of Luke 2 there. Let me remind you that this is the Word of God for His people, for the world to hear the good news of great joy that we will talk about today. And God's word says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom with whom he is pleased.'" Let me pray for us. Father, we are thankful that you have given us your word. Will you give us the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying today through this passage, that we would see the good news of Jesus, and that it really would bring us great joy, and that we would be so filled with joy that we would leave this place today and tell others the good news of who Jesus truly is. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory. Amen. So last week, we began this series. We looked at the same passage, and I began the sermon with a really bad joke. And I think I've started the tradition. So I'm going to tell another bad joke. Are you ready? Here we go. And it's, again, sort of like in the theme of good news, bad news. All right, so this patient comes in to see a doctor. And the doctor says, after running some tests, "I have some bad news for you and some really bad news for you. The bad news is that you have cancer." And the patient says, "Okay. Well, what's the very bad news?" And the doctor says, "Well, you also have short-term memory loss." And the patient says, "Oh, good. For a moment there, I thought you were going to say I have cancer." Ba-doom-tsh. Told you it was a bad joke. The point of that is, really, you know, sometimes we are looking for good news and all we get is bad news. Bad news upon bad news upon bad news. That's sort of like what this year has been like, right? Lots and lots of bad news. But in this passage, we see good news of great joy, which happens because Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem, and while they're there, they have a baby. And unfortunately, there isn't any room for them in the inn, and so she has to hang out with some animals, apparently, and she lays her baby in the crib that's called a manger. And meanwhile, out in the fields, there are these shepherds watching over their sheep, and it's dark and it's quiet, and all of a sudden, these angels appear, and they are afraid, but then one angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." See, good news of great joy. And what is that good news of great joy? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then there's a whole lot of angels, and they are all praising God, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased." So last week we saw in this passage that Jesus is the Savior. That's the good news of great joy. He is the one who comes and rescues people from their sin and from the effects of sin. And we see how in the world around us that sin really has had a huge effect. And Jesus is the Savior of people who draw near to Him in faith. And today we're going to look at another aspect of the good news of great joy, and it's this. It is good news of great joy that Jesus is the Christ. It is good news of great joy that Jesus is the Christ. He's not just the Savior, He's the Christ. Now maybe you're thinking, well, what difference does it make that He's the Christ? Well, let's dig in and find out. So in this passage, the angel when says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy," verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ." Now, contrary to what some people might think, the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not like, you know, Stuart Mazel. It's not Jesus Christ. Christ is not His last name. It's a title. Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which the word Messiah basically means anointed. And in the Old Testament, when a man was set apart for a role like king or priest or even prophet, that person was anointed with oil to represent that God's favor had been poured out upon them, and that they were to fulfill a role, again, whether king or priest or prophet. So to say that someone was an anointed king means that God had placed favor upon them and set them apart to be that king. If they were anointed priest, God had poured out His favor upon that person and appointed them as priest. The same with prophet. And so when we read in the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, what we're seeing is that Jesus was anointed, blessed by God the Father, and set apart for a specific purpose. Okay? You following me so far? So, what is the good news of great joy about Jesus being the Christ, the anointed one? What is it? Well, basically it's this, that Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's plans for His people. Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's plans for His people. Now, if you were a Jew in the time of the first century and someone said, "I've found the Messiah," they would think, okay, he has found someone that he thinks is the anointed king, the guy who God has set apart to be king. And he's going to set up a kingdom, and he's going to right all the wrongs that have been done to us Jews. And then he's going to establish this powerful kingdom, and Israel is going to be the kingdom that we've always longed for, and he's going to get rid of the Romans and all the other evil Gentiles, and then we're going to be on top. That's basically what a first century Jew would generally think when they heard the word Messiah. And they got it wrong. In fact, I would say that when they heard the word Messiah and they were thinking of a king who would set up an earthly kingdom, they were thinking way too small. Way too small. You see, Jesus, as the Messiah, he wasn't just a king, and he is king. He's a king of kings, right? That's what the scriptures say. But he's not just a king. He is the fulfillment of everything that God has promised his people. And to ensure that all of God's promises would be yes and amen in this man Jesus, who was God in the flesh, which we'll talk about some next week. But to ensure that all of this would happen, Jesus was not anointed with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. Powerful. The Spirit of God to bring power upon him. In fact, this is what we read in Acts chapter 10 when it said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, Jesus wasn't just a king. He is, to steal a phrase from The Matrix, the one. The one. The one who brings fulfillment of everything God promises his people. The Jews of that day, God's people of that day, when they were looking for the Messiah, they were looking for a king who would establish an earthly kingdom and overthrow the Romans. But what Jesus brings is fulfillment of everything that God had promised, including bringing the Romans into the kingdom. In fact, not just the Romans, but the entire world, bringing people from all over the world into the kingdom and being the king, the priest, the prophet, the everything, the only one we need to look to bring about the fulfillment of God's beautiful promises to his people. That's good news. You know why? Because of what God has promised. And very specifically, we could talk about lots of promises. There are many great and precious promises in the scripture that God gives to his people. But today I just want to focus on a small little sliver. Because of his anointed status, Jesus brings fulfillment to God's promises to bring justice, comfort, and restoration to this broken world. Because of who Jesus is, because he has been anointed by the Holy Spirit to go through this role of prophet, priest, king, of the one who will bring about all the promises, he will bring justice, he will bring comfort, he will bring restoration to this broken world. There is no question that we live in a broken world. All it takes is for us to watch the news for just a few moments, and we see heartrending stories. In fact, we don't even have to turn on the news. Most of us can just look across the street or across the aisle or even in our own home. And we see the brokenness that sin has brought into the world. The pain, the sorrow, the sickness, disease, death. It all comes from that one moment ages ago when sin entered into the world, and sin brought misery, suffering, and death. And we've been experiencing it all throughout our lives. And Jesus was anointed to bring about justice in a world where there is injustice, to bring comfort to those who are hurting and suffering, to bring a restoration of God's world. Because when, in the very beginning, when God created the entire world, and then on that last day when he looked at it, you know what he said? Did he say, well, I could have done better? It's not my best work. No, you know what God pronounced the world to be? Two words in English. Very good. How do we get from very good to broken? It's sin. Sin is what's brought injustice into the world. Sin is what has brought suffering into the world. Sin has brought what? The brokenness of relationship between us and God and us and each other. But Jesus says he has come to bring justice and comfort and restoration to this broken world. In fact, one of my favorite passages now in all of Scripture is Luke chapter 4. It is so powerful. And every time I read it, I get a little chill now. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Luke tells this account of how Jesus came to Nazareth. And he went into the synagogue, which was the Jewish version of the church right now. The way we would gather today, they would gather. And they would have readings of Scripture. And Jesus stood up to read from the scroll of Isaiah. And he rolled it open. And he read from Isaiah chapter 61, which, if you remember, was our call to worship this morning that Nathan read for us. And here's what Jesus read, according to Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down and everybody's looking at him. What is he going to say about this passage from Isaiah? And Jesus says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Do you hear what he's saying? Imagine if I opened up the Bible and pointed out a prophecy of some sort, and I read it, and then I said, okay, guys, this passage, it's about me. What would you do? You'd probably run me out of this building. You'd say, that's ridiculous, Stuart. There's nothing in Scripture about you. You're not that important. You're not that powerful. There's nothing really that great about you. And you would be right. But here in the synagogue, Jesus is reading from Isaiah 61. And he says, listen, everybody, this passage is about me. When it says the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, it's talking about me. And so here Jesus says, basically, I am the one who's going to bring about justice. I am the one who's going to bring about comfort. I am the one who's going to bring about restoration, because I have been anointed by the Spirit to bring good news to the poor. I have been anointed to bring comfort to those who mourn, to bind up those who are brokenhearted. I have been anointed to bring liberty to those who are imprisoned, to bring liberty to those who are oppressed. I am the one who is going to bring joy and praise and, yes, even justice and righteousness to this unjust and unrighteous world. Jesus was saying, I'm the one to bring all this about. And you know what they ended up trying to do? They wanted to kill him. And in fact, every time Jesus tried to make such a bold claim, they said, there's no way. Not you. Nothing good could come from Nazareth. Get out of here. We don't want anybody who's saying this. But then Jesus was crucified. He was buried. And then 3 days later, the scriptures say, the stone rolled away and Jesus rose from the dead. And at that moment, God the Father proclaimed what Jesus has been saying, what my Son has been saying, has been true. And this proves it. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead proves that he is the one. He is the Messiah. He is the one who will bring justice, comfort, and restoration to our world. Now, maybe you're not in a point where you're thinking for yourself, well, I don't need justice right now. But there are plenty of people in the world who do. Do we care about justice in our world? Jesus does. And he comes to bring it. Maybe you're not needing comfort right now. Maybe you're very comfortable. And everything is just going your way. You're on cloud nine and you're singing songs and, you know, skipping around and just, you know, you are the epitome of the happy person. Awesome. But there are plenty of people in the world right now. There are plenty of people in this church right now who need comfort because they're hurting. There's a brokenness. There's pain and suffering. Do we love and care for those folks in the name of Jesus because Jesus is the one who brings comfort? Do we do that? And yes, you may even feel like restoration, well, that sounds like a pie in the sky thing. I mean, do we really need to be restored to anything? Aren't we fine like we are? Jesus promises to bring restoration of all things that need to be restored. And there is a lot that needs to be restored in this world. Just give it 3 minutes of thinking about it, and I'm sure you can come up with a whole list. And Jesus is the one who brings it about. This is the good news of great joy, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the One who will bring about all of the promises of God. And part of those promises are to bring justice and comfort and restoration to this broken, fallen world. That is something that should make us all say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you that you are the one. You know, we often think of December as a time of great joy because we've got lights and trees, we've got presents, we've got hustle and bustle, we've got parties, we've got ugly sweaters that we like to wear and laugh at. We've got all these things that just bring about some happiness, but you know what? December is one of the worst times of the year for people who suffer with depression. As one of those, I know exactly what it's like. And I can't wait until Jesus brings about the restoration of all who at December look across the room and see a family member who's no longer there and mourn. For those who think about broken relationships in their own family, in their friends, in their church, in their world, and they say, I wish it was different. For all those who have experienced the pain and suffering and difficulty of this fallen world, and December just brings it up because everybody seems like they're really happy on the outside, but we don't really know what's going on inside. I can't wait until Jesus, in the final day, brings about a restoration where the joy that's down deep in our heart, supposedly, will be seen on our face for sure. Not a fake joy, but a real, lasting joy because all things will have been made new. Do you long for that? Is that something that's on your Christmas wish list? You know, real quick, before the election, and I don't want to get political, okay? But before the election, I remember people asking me, what are you going to do, Stuart? Who are you going to vote for? And my standard answer, and some people thought I was just joking. I was not joking. I'm praying that Jesus will return. Before the election. That's what I'm praying. That's what my hope is. That's what I long for. I'm not putting my hope in some politician that is just going to go in a different direction than what Jesus is. I want Jesus because he's the only one who's going to bring about what is good in this world. And knowing that, this good news, the good news that Jesus is the one, the Christ, the one who fills all these good promises that God has given us, this good news gives us a certain and joyful hope for the future. A certain and joyful hope for the future. And let's face it, whether you are, you know, on cloud nine because of Christmas or you're in the depths of despair right now, we all could use a little hope. I mean, just think about this COVID-19 pandemic thing. Okay, just that one slice of the pie of what's been going on. The first, as far as I can tell, the first reported case of this COVID-19 pandemic was back in November of last year, and the first reported death, as far as I can tell, was in January. And here in the States, the first reported case was in January, and the first death was in February. And here we are at the end of 2020, just a few months later, and there have been 70 million people worldwide who have been infected, and 1.6 million reported deaths. Hey, just think about that, 1.6 million people dead because of a virus. Here in America, There have been over 16 million infections, and we are closing in fast on 300,000 deaths. And the numbers keep rising. The hospitalization rate of COVID patients has doubled since the worst days of the spring and summer, and the death rate in this country has climbed higher and higher until the 7-day average in the U.S. is now at 2,300 deaths per day. That's higher than it was during the lockdown of April and May. And here we all are, trying to distance ourselves, wearing masks, trying to protect ourselves, because it's been kind of dark with this pandemic. But there's this little glimmer of hope we hear on the news, right? That these vaccines are coming, and vaccines are starting to be approved and used. Scientists are optimistic about the effects of the vaccine. But even with that, there's still this uncertainty, isn't there? I mean, how many people are actually going to get the vaccine? You don't know how many times I've heard people say, and even I've said this, I don't know if I want to be the first to get that vaccine. And even if we do want the vaccine, are we really sure that it's going to work the way it says it will? And how long will it last? Will we have to take the vaccine every other year or every year? Or is it something that will last for a lot longer? We just don't know. There's lots of uncertainty hanging over our heads. And so the hope that we have in a vaccine is not a certain hope. It's not a sure hope. It's just something that I hope it'll be okay. Right? But the promise of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who will right all wrongs, who will reverse the curse, who will bring about something so great, so beautiful, so wonderful that we can't imagine what it will look like, that Jesus is our true hope. Not a politician, not a vaccine, not anything else in all creation except for the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, anointed to be our priest, our king, our prophet, our everything. He is our sure and certain hope, a hope that is solid and secure, and that hope brings us great joy. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, today would be a great day to hear this good news and to believe that that good news is for you. And if that's the case for you, I would love to talk to you today. I'd love to hear your story and hear how God is at work in you. If you are a believer and you're wrestling with pain and suffering, with difficulty, with all kinds of emotional issues or feelings, and you just don't know how to deal with it, Jesus is your hope. He is the one you can go to. And if He is the one who will fulfill all these promises, it is one of those things where sometimes we just have to say, I believe, Jesus. Help me in my unbelief. Help me to believe where I'm not believing right now. Because Jesus is the good news that brings great joy. So let's find our ultimate joy in Jesus, the Christ. Let me pray for us that we'll be able to do that. Father, thank you for this, your word. Thank you for Jesus being not only our Savior, but the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who will bring about all of the promises that you have for us. Our prophet, priest, and king, everything that we need wrapped up in one man, the Lord Jesus. Would you help us to find great joy in him today? We ask this in the name of Jesus and for your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.